Monica, that was the best Thanksgiving dinner ever. It was so good. I think you killed us.
Couldn't possibly eat another bite.
I need something sweet.
Does anyone want to watch TV?
Yeah, sure.
Monica, your remote doesn't work.
Phoebe, you have to lift it and point.
Oh. I forget it.
Most of us need help in the kitchen, especially around Thanksgiving. That's why we brought in a pro, and he brought a recipe with him. Wow, I cannot wait to eat. Joining us in studio is the culinary director and managing partner of Cooking Skills Academy in Itasca. It only took him 6 hours to drive downtown, Chef Paul Guerrero. Chef, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me in.
How long did it take?
It was about hour 40. I expected a little bit longer than that, right. So it was nice, yeah.
Wow, this stuffing recipe is off the charts fantastic.
Thank you.
It reminds me of growing up because my Aunt Diana used to make stuffing with pork every single year, and it was so good. And I'm like, where did you get this recipe? And she said, oh, it's an old family recipe. I think she just made it up.
Half the time. That's what our parents do, right?
So you partnered with the Illinois Pork Producers.
Correct.
And you came up with this recipe.
Yes. So we're taking a lot of the loins and pork loins. We're trying to bring that to light and show people how to really use it in a healthier manner, quote unquote.
Right.
We can still mix in a couple really tasty ingredients, butter and bacon and things like that. So
pork tenderloin is just off the charts. And you can do so much with it. You just throw it in a cast iron, finish it in the oven.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. So when you go to the grocery store, there's two parts, right? There's the pork tenderloin, which is the smaller loin. And then there's actually the pork loin, which is that big honking piece of meat you might see.
Yeah.
Like if you go to Costco or something. And they cut that down into chops. So we're showing you how to use both cuts.
People overcook pork.
They do.
Yes, they do. I was just going to say, it is so hard to do pork well, unless you know how to cook.
How do you cook pork?
You know, so here's the key thing is a lot of people before they were scared, the reason they overcooked it was because of something called trichinosis, right? And so everybody wanted to eat their pork well done. But today you go to a restaurant, you're going to see them order it medium rare, medium, which is close to 145 degrees. Decades ago, you'd never see your grandma or your mom order it that way because they were scared of getting sick. But today, the way we feed our pigs, you can eat the pork loin medium rare medium.
You want it pink, right?
You want it pink.
A little bit of pink.
Yeah, so 145 is nice. The reason I say 145 is because after you take it out of the oven, what happens is it's going to continue to cook. It's called carryover cooking. So most people cook it all the way to well done and then think it's still going to be juicy. Don't. Cook it about halfway. Let it rest. It's still cooking for a couple minutes.
Can you give us the ingredients in this pork stuffing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So with this here, it's pork stuffing. If you want to do just straight pork stuffing without the pork loin, I recommend using some sort of bacon or even Italian sausage in the mix to give it that extra little bit of marbling and flavor in there. With this, we use
pork
loin. So
you're adding bacon with the pork loin?
Yes, exactly.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and inside. So you'll also notice a little secret ingredient here, Pete, is Bartlett pears.
I was going to say, I tasted something fruity. Yeah. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so the Bartlett pears hold up really well when you bake, but it's the secret to keeping things moist because pork, even if it's, see, this has been sitting in my car, Pete, for like 4 hours on the drive
it
here.
It still tastes fantastic.
So the secret here is adding something else that you know will hold its moisture, like the pears. Because you're cooking, how many things do you cook on Thanksgiving? Like 10 different things?
Right.
So this you could let sit for a couple hours and it'll be okay.
And the sweet with the salty pork.
Exactly. Yeah,
growing up, that was just a signature dish during the fall. Mom would do pork and applesauce on the side.
Right.
Always. Right?
Exactly. Or that's why they have cranberry because it's a little bit sweet. It adds to the pork. But with this, the Bartlett pears and also just mixing in a little bit of Italian sausage in that mix also kept this nice and moist.
Of course. It's going to taste fantastic with all the ingredients.
There's an ingredient in here. There's a cheese in here. Can you guys grab the cheese? Did you guys taste it? There's a little secret there. I'll give it away. There's a feta crust on top of this.
Oh, I can taste it now.
Now you can taste the feta, right? So when have you seen feta at Thanksgiving?
Oh, my God, is that good.
Right?
Never.
Yeah, so what we did was we took a little bit of butter, grass-fed butter, right? Nowadays they say grass-fed butter is good for you. People put it in their coffee.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You read one article
who
that says
knew?
It's good. Who knew butter was good for you, right?
Right.
So you mix it with a little bit of panko breadcrumbs and just a touch of feta. Throw it on top. That's what the crust is. And you just broil it for a minute. Gives it nice color. And then it also, again, adds a little bit of that moisture.
How do you come up with this? Is it just hit and miss? You call up the Illinois pork producer and you say, guys, I'm thinking about doing this stuffing. You want a partner?
Yeah, you know what? It's like anything, right? It's making mistakes, messing up, trying it out, and also thinking of other recipes, right? So if there's, let's say, I kind of combine this with a really popular ribeye recipe that I have, right? So I said, okay, well, ribeye tastes good. like this. Let me see if it works with pork. So I made a couple tweaks to make it more Thanksgiving.
It's so good.
Yeah, and you mess with it. You mess with it. So
I love that it's not really that salty at all. When I eat stuffing or pork separate, a lot of times it's way too salty because I have a pretty high salt tolerance. But, you know, I don't taste really any salt in this.
In the restaurant, what we call that well-seasoned, right?
Oh, so, yes, okay.
So when, let's say, a server comes back to the kitchen, right? They're always mad about something with the chef. Like, hey, table 54, I said this is salty. Say,
people want to complain just to complain.
Yeah, I say, hey, wait, this is well-seasoned. We call that well-seasoned. Well, it's not salty. It's not salty. I think the thing here is we built layers, so we always wait to season it a little bit heavier, more towards the end. You know, when you look at a recipe, it usually says salt and pepper to taste at the end of the recipe.
Right.
Sometimes people get a little bit carried away and they start seasoning things in the beginning.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But as it cooks, it's going to reduce down, so it's going to get saltier. So you have to be careful.
Chef, I'm going to ask you the biggest mistake people make preparing Thanksgiving dinner, and we're also going to test out pumpkin pie. Okay? Chef Paul is here from CookingSkillsAcademy.com. But first, we need to take a look at weather and traffic. Lauren, what do you have? Pete McMurray in for Rokan. In studio with us is Chef Paul Guerrero from CookingSkillsAcademy.com. And we're going to have the pumpkin pie blind taste test in a second. But first, biggest mistake people make preparing Thanksgiving dinner.
I don't think that they plan ahead long enough to thaw that turkey. I think I heard a question earlier. How long does it take to thaw
a guy
turkey?
Called me last night.
Right.
It's like I just bought a huge turkey. How long to thaw it out? I go, just put it outside right now or put it in your sink. Yeah. Right? How long does it take?
It's a good rule of thumb, Pete, is you want to take it every 5 pounds is 24 hours. Okay? So for every 5 pounds of turkey that you have, 24 hours in your refrigerator, not at room temperature. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it out on your kitchen counter.
Really?
Throw it in your refrigerator.
Okay.
Yeah, that look in your eye says you leave it on your kitchen counter.
I remember my mom, maybe she was washing the turkey. I always remember her with the turkey in the sink.
Well, somebody texts in, you can also do a water thaw method that is quicker. Is that accurate or safe?
So I recommend against it just because if you're putting it in your sink and you have raw poultry, right?
Sinks are dirty.
Yeah.
Sinks are nasty.
Come on. Yeah, we have an immune system.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know if I trust everybody, you know, to sanitize the sink down. So that's why I say the safest way, and you don't have to think about it, is for every 5 pounds of turkey that you have, 24 hours in the refrigerator. If you need to do it in a rush, throw it in the sink under cold water. Don't run it under hot water. The outside of that thing will turn gray, and it'll be thawed out in the center still.
There are some people right now panicking, looking at their watch, doing the math. Oh my God. Wait a minute, what? I've done this completely wrong.
What is going on here?
Yeah.
All right, you cook for a living. That's your job.
That's correct, yeah.
Do you cook for fun? Are you going to cook tomorrow?
I do. You know what's nice? So my wife's family, her mom, is an absolutely amazing cook. And she does a lot of the cooking. I'll do a handful of dishes for them, you know, just to whip it together. It doesn't take me very long, so I don't mind doing that part, doing some of the sides, showing the turkey. I actually break my turkey down. I don't cook the whole thing.
See, I've heard about that. People cut the legs off and cook them separately because they're obviously going to be cooked at different time, right?
Right.
The breast and the leg.
I mean, we usually do it for the photo, right? So we're cooking the whole turkey for the photo.
Okay? Right.
I think I have enough whole turkey photos in my phone to go with the 40,000 other photos
you
that are on my
phone.
Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. So I would prefer to have a really tasty turkey instead of that one moment of that photo. So I like to break mine down, cook it properly, brine it, take my time, and make sure that each part cooks properly.
Do you shove butter under the skin?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everybody, you have to do that.
Yeah. How much do you put on there?
Ooh, that's all relative.
All
of
it.
Yeah, it depends.
Right.
If you saw me with butter.
Grass-fed butter, right?
Grass-fed butter. You spend the extra money.
It's good for you.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely spread butter under it. So, salt.
Do you have a family recipe, like a family tradition that you do on Thanksgiving? Like, my mother makes, and I'm not kidding when I say this, pickled turnips with beets. It's like an appetizer. And we've had it forever. It's like a family thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you eat it every Thanksgiving, or?
I shy away from it, but my brothers love it. I mean, people love it in the family.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not for us. No, no real tradition, just the usual, you know, turkey and, you know, the usual size. We might mix it up, but I don't really cook at home. That's the ironic part, right? You're doing it all day long, so the last thing, my wife actually gets really mad I don't cook it.
All right. Can we talk dessert?
Let's do it.
Everybody has three pumpkin pies in front of them, okay? It's a blind test for the best. Which pumpkin pie is the best? Number one, two, or three? Now, one is from Costco, one is from Jewel, and one I made on Monday night. It's been sitting in my refrigerator. So everybody try number one. Okay?
Certainly tastes like pumpkin pie.
They all look pretty uniform. They all look pretty similar here.
Knowing pumpkin pie, I know what number one is. Okay? Get a little piece of the crust. All right, everybody, ready to go number two?
Yep. Okay.
What is it with pumpkin pie? It's just so good.
I'm a big fan.
Love the creaminess, textures.
You like it with or without whipped cream?
Oh, I brought the whipped cream. It's in the fridge. I forgot to bring it in the studio.
I like it without whipped cream.
I'm all about the Cool Whip specifically.
All right, number three. Okay?
Nothing like listening to people chew on food into the radio.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So a little number cinnamon
three,
in there.
Yeah. Number three, I noticed, had a lighter shade than the other two.
All right.
Definitely has a more unique cinnamon flavor or nutmeg, almost something.
Right.
Something along those lines.
Yep. Okay.
I think I like that one the best.
You like number three.
Yeah.
Chef?
Yeah, number three, I got a lot of cinnamon.
Yeah.
I don't know if for me personally, I'm a big fan of a super overpowering flavor here.
Okay.
I don't know if because it was the first bite, but I like number one.
You like number one.
I like number one. Number two look maybe a little homemade, but I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that could be you. Maybe two could be you.
I'm going with one because it's the least sweet of the three, and that's why I like pie, because I'm not a big cake guy because it's just a brick of sugar. For me, I like the pie because the crust, and you can get a little more, whatever it may be, a cherry pie, tartness. So I'm going one.
You went one?
I agree with Kat. I'm going
you
one.
You went one. Yeah. You went three. Okay. Number one is Costco.
Really?
Oh. Here we go.
The greatest pumpkin pie on the planet.
Yes.
You do a nice pie.
Yes. It's $5.99 for a pumpkin pie that is the size of the wheel on your car.
Yes. Yes.
Why wouldn't you not get it?
Yeah, it's a great employee gift, too. I was at Costco yesterday, and there was a lady who literally had the 4x4 rack pulled up to her truck outside, and she was loading about 100
pumpkin
pies.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. Number three is my homemade pie.
Wow, I love it.
Uh-huh.
I guess I can kind of tell now that I look at the crust. It's very decorative.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones are kind of that basic, just curve. Yours has a little bit more detail in there.
You put ginger in yours, Pete?
I put a little bit of ginger.
Okay.
Very good.
Ginger.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that in there.
And number two is Jewel.
Oh, yeah. No love for Jewel today.
Yeah,
hey, wait a second.
They're all good.
I mean, they're all great.
They are good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I mean, I love, baking is easy, and I don't know what it is with kids, but my son Charlie was there, and he's like, Dad, let me help you a little bit. It's fun. It's like a family thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Do you have any, I'm going to my parents tomorrow. I wasn't planning on making anything. I was probably just going to bring beer. But do you have any last minute, if I do feel ambitious, I don't really know when I'm going to have time for this, because it's Black Wednesday, and then the Bears play tomorrow, but if I do find time, what would be a quick, easy recipe?
Oh, I got one for you.
Okay.
And it's a hit.
Okay.
Everybody texts me the same thing. Hey, Paul.
hey,
is there I sounded Italian.
Now I have you on speed now, which is great.
That's great. Yeah, text me. They say, hey, I need, my sister actually just texted me 2 days ago about it. I need a last minute recipe, but I don't have a lot of time. So here it is, everyone. It is a 4-cheese mac and cheese.
Oh.
Okay. Now the secret is 4-cheese. Just go and buy the 4-cheese blend, whatever it is at the grocery store, right? Okay. If you want, you could buy like 3-cheese blend and then get like a fancier cheese to put over the top, like a Parmesan or something. Or feta, like the feta we had today is nice because it's mild, but it has a little bit of bite.
Yeah.
The recipe is really simple. So 1-pound box. I like to do rigatoni just because it's different. Everybody expects shells.
Because you got
to
show off.
Yeah, you got to show off.
You're the chef.
Yeah, so if you use shells or something, they might expect macaroni.
Yeah,
it looks like you bought it at the store, right? But if you use rigatoni or like a penne rigate is the one with the lines in it, not just the plain flat penne. 1 pound of pasta, right?
Okay.
1 quart of heavy cream. Has to be heavy cream. Not milk, not half and half. Has to be heavy cream.
Can we substitute that for a guy like me and like to watch my figure so I can drink
beer? It's Thanksgiving.
Guys, we're drinking beer here. Everything's a numbers game. Why are you on me?
Yeah, then stay away from the mac. That's going to hurt. Yeah, you need the heavy cream. You need it. You need the fat in that. Sorry, Pete. Sorry. So 1 pound of pasta. They usually sell it in a box, right?
Yeah.
1 quart of heavy cream.
Yep.
The cheese is really a matter of preference, but for the most part, you know, a pound of heavy cheese sounds like a lot. And all you have to do is heat up your heavy cream, throw all the cheese in there, shredded cheese, right? It has to be the bag of shredded. Mix it till it makes like a nice thick sauce, and then just put your pasta that's about 70% cooked. Mix it all together, throw it in a casserole dish. It's going to carry over cook. By the time you get to the person's house, it'll be ready. Your pasta should still be a little bit al dente. That's it. It's literally three ingredients.
Chef. Do you own a casserole dish, Kevin?
I do. I have multiple casseroles.
Wow.
I have two. You can borrow one from me.
I love cooking.
Got it for when I got married. Chef, you're the best.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Chef Paul Guerrero, you can go to cookingskillsacademy.com and tell the Illinois pork producers we love the pork stuffing. It's good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, quick break, and we'll check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.